car place with her earbuds in. Where a car's being serviced. Don't you love the portability of our technology these days, that you can sit in the waiting room where your car's being serviced and join in a clinic that's blowing people's minds? Add to the beautiful energy. Okay, this is a safe... The other thing I want to talk about is that this is a safe space for letting big energy. You know, I came to a major realization a few months back now that I'm not into customer service. Now, some of you are going to be surprised at that. Don't expect customer service from me, guys, because I'm not into customer service. I'm into helping people reach their dreams. And sometimes that means being an asshole, which, after all, is the subject of today's talk. Sandra reminds me, it's not just big energy, it's big energy and big emotions, and it's a safe place for dealing with all that stuff that's been shoved down. And what we saw on Tuesday was some very big emotions, and Costanza laughing it with the most hilarious, gosh, just listening to her made us all laugh with her. She laughed off generation after generation after generation of gobsmackingly angry women. Now, I've had an email from her, she's not with us this morning, saying she's still processing that, and she's still actually allowing that angry energy to run. She's staying connected with it, which is really good. there must be many generations of it. But the fun of that was also balanced by the big sadnesses, Donna's big sadness and Trisha's big sadness. All just as valid ways of flowing with this really big energy. Tears is just as valid a way of flowing with this big energy as Costanza's laughter was. So talking about those generations of angry women, we inherit what I call predisposition to experience certain emotions. It's in our DNA. There's also a spiritual angle to this, or a spiritual thread to this, where we talk about karma. And I particularly talk about karma as the opportunity to do it better this time. Just going to let that sit. Let you sit with that for a second. Karma happens within our lifetime as well as between one lifetime and another. And I try not to talk too much about what I believe in, because what I believe in isn't important to you. But it's worth thinking about, you know, what you believe in happens to the soul after death. And, you know, whether you believe in that cycle of life and reincarnation and all that kind of stuff. So karma is the opportunity to do it better this time, in this life, in this moment. And it's interesting because I've seen patterns in my life where I've had stuff happen and I've had the opportunity to do it again better later on in my life. That's been an interesting observation to make too. So we had a lot of fun on Tuesday with the arsehole thing, which you'll see on the webpage. And if you've listened to the recording, you heard us having a lot of fun with that arsehole thing. But today I want to lighten it up a bit. well, that was, the arsehole thing was fun. The impact of it was to get us to realise that there really is no such thing as an arsehole. not when we actually do get the comfort zone to look at what's behind their behaviour. So we see that arsehole behaviour has two important threads to it. And this enables us to be softer about it and come more from the heart than the warrior energy, you know, that I was coming from on Tuesday. Everybody who had an insight about, you know, someone who had been behaving like an arsehole noticed that there is something behind them behaving like that. So the thread for us, the takeaway for us is, can we get curious about what that is? And the other one is, how can we be angry or stay angry and stay upset at someone who's helped us reach our dream? Wow, I can feel that landing. That's something to be grateful for. Whoever thought you'd be sitting here on a Thursday morning, Wednesday night for some of you, being told you should be grateful to arseholes. And I'm not telling you should be grateful to arseholes. I had a... Actually, let me open you up. Robin, how's your communication this morning? Robin from Taipei. No, not good yet. Cool. Put your hand up or open up to talk to me. I'm just trying to think who it was. Somebody emailed me after Tuesday and said that they were really, really angry, really, really angry at some stuff that was going on and that had been going on in their family, and that they were having trouble with resentment. Ah, there you are. Okay, can I hear you now? Nope, still can't hear you, sweetheart. Okay, you know I'm talking to you. I'll close that back down again. And she was trying not to be angry. And my thing was, for God's sake, go sit with it and feel angry. Whenever we make anything wrong, see, you know, don't confuse this joking talk about assholes for anything except the seriousness that it is. When we're angry, don't make angry wrong. So there's kind of a paradox in here because, you know, anger that we're not dealing with, anger that we're not understanding what we're angry about, kind of balls up inside and hurts us like shit. You know, it damages your liver, damages your gallbladder. It's responsible for so much sickness and pain and suffering and emotional suffering and mental suffering and physical suffering. Balled up anger is the pit. But don't make it wrong, because it's really hard to understand something that you're making wrong. You are right to be angry. Costanza's generations of women filled with rage were right to be angry. Robin was right to be angry. And she may have discovered that by now, because I sent her away to do a meditation on it, feeling into the rightness of her anger. I've actually had a circus angry. I'll finish my sentences. I get so passionate about stuff, I lurch from one sentence to another without finishing it. I get so passionate about this stuff because, wow, it's completely transformed my life and so many other people's as well. Angry was my big deal. Like, I was a really angry person. and most of my anger came from fear. It was an intensification of fear. But this one particular day, I made this enormous breakthrough in anger. My poor husband. he's so gorgeous. You've got to know this man is so gorgeous. He's so soft and so supportive of the work I do, and he supported it when it wasn't convenient to support it. And then I make him the things I talk about when I talk about my own life, to kind of give you examples of things. But I remember this particular day when he was doing something that was dangerous. Every now and again, and I think this is in the past now, he would be reckless about something, and he was being reckless, welding. I don't even need to tell you the circumstances. He was welding in a way that was recklessly dangerous. And I put a stop to it. And I remember this standing at the back door and Merv on the other side of the gate, and his eyes just about popping out of his head. He was so angry with me because he thought that it was me that was throwing the power off on him all the time, whereas it was actually the electricity board getting overloaded and popping all the time. And I can feel Oriana's hair going up on the back of her neck. Yes. Yes, he was being that freaking reckless, Oriana. And I can feel her laughing from here. And we were nose to nose, and he's screaming at me. I've only seen this man lose his temper twice in 45 years of being together, and that was one of them. And I'm actually standing nose to nose in absolute anger, saying, no, you will not pass and put this electricity back on again. And I'm standing there nose to nose with him, and he's screaming at me, and I'm saying, I love you. 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 And he just shivered and walked away. I can hear you laughing from here, Oriana. I'm going to open you up for a second just so we can all hear you laughing.
Yeah, I do remember you talking about this story before.
Yes, it's what I told before. It's my big, what I call righteous anger. It was when I stepped into the place, when I'd actually got to a place where I understood my anger and it flowed.
Yeah.
The way real anger is meant to. Says, I actually remember, in fact, I actually think I used the words, I put my hand up in a stop sign in front of him, and I'm pretty sure this was the time I said, thou shalt not pass.
Famous words now. Something, Jenny, you said resonated a little bit with me, which I find interesting. My father was an angry man. His life...
My commiserations.
But I was terrified of him. And
Me too.
The anger thing is a family thing. I can get angry very quickly. My astrologer friend, Steve Judd, says know, with me who need anger management. And I'm just wondering whether that's behind some of my stuff.
Oh, of course. Of course. But the thing I found, Oriana, is the more I've done this work, I've lost my temper. Even deep into this spiritual work, I've lost my temper. Yeah. But every time I do, I come away. I don't like losing my temper. I'd much rather have the energy running.
Yeah.
But every time I lose my temper, I come away and I go meditate on it.
Mm.
Because, you know, if I'm not, this is going to make Sandra laugh, if I'm not in control of it, because I like being in control of things. But if I, you know, but if anger's taken over me, then I need to clean that layer up. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if I make myself wrong about that, and I tell you, I've sure as shit made myself wrong about that in the past, because, you know, when you're, I've been a person who lashes out in anger, and, you know, that's something to feel really guilty about. But, oh, hang on a second. This is really interesting. Can you hear the tone in my voice changing? I'm stepping into teacher mode. I need my little cheek slapped. Yeah, I came out of authenticity for a second. Let me just drop back in again. Wow, that's a powerful thing to do. Okay, so that's what you can do when you get angry and feeling guilty about something is feeling guilty about something is a really useful change place if we use it as the change place that it is, which says, you know, come on, let's love ourselves enough to find out why we feel so crappy about this. And go figure out how we're going to change it. And in my case, that's been an opportunity to clean up another layer of, you know, generational stuff. My dad was a really angry, really violent, angry alcoholic. And we were scared shitless of him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember the fear of my father, absolute terror.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, there was physical violence as well within the family.
Yep, me too.
So, yes, and I experienced violence in certainly one of my relationships. And it's something which, when you've seen the civilization disappear from someone, you never forget it if you ever see it again.
Yeah, you don't really want to see it again. So that's the tool, you know, that's yeah. The tool for changing that is every layer of inner awareness, every bit of inner awareness that we flow with, we get better and better. I am nowhere near the angry person that I used to be. I can still get angry.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of go into that losing control almost place. But I ain't letting it pass anymore. Doesn't matter, really. Well, the ideal for me is that I don't ever lose control in anger anymore. That's the ideal.
That's an interesting point, Jenny. I'll tell you why.
I haven't hit it yet, though.
No, but throughout my life, I have never wanted to lose control. So I have never got drunk. I've never taken recreational drugs because people go ever so silly with that. I mean, when I was younger, people thought I got hollow legs because they chuck booze down me and nothing happens other than I got angry faster. But
yep.
it's an interesting one. I mean, I do wonder whether some of this anger has been the cause of some of my health problems.
Oh, duh. Duh. And
yeah,
mine.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, there's the recent one of the breakage of the pelvis and the continuing one of still not sleeping properly.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, here's your thing. Can you, there's no coincidence I was hearing you laughing and got you to join in this conversation with me. Can you feel inside yourself and just make a little commitment to yourself to get comfortable about anger? You're not going to make it wrong anymore. You're not going to make it wrong anymore.
Yeah.
And this is interesting. And this is interesting because this kind of comes into the arsehole conversation, because your dad was an arsehole, right?
Yeah.
He behaved like an arsehole. But when you understand what caused his arseholery.
Oh, I know, because I know the history.
Yeah, but hang on. You knew, if the knowing came from the inside of you, it would no longer have any impact on you whatsoever. So it's a different thing to have an intellectual knowledge of, this happened in his life, and I can see, you know, he had the shit beaten out of him and all this kind of stuff. But there's a different kind of knowing that comes up from the inside of you, and you actually feel them. You know them. And that's a very different kettle of fish, because it transforms everything.
Because from the knowledge, particularly of his early life, and from the sense of some of the things that I sensed rather than was told, I could then sense the anger that came from that. What I don't fully understand is where the violence came from.
Yep. Just keep sitting with it. But the clue is, the first clue is, stop making it wrong. Stop making it wrong for you, and stop making it wrong for him. You know, we're joking about this. The arsehole thing has been a wonderful joke that kind of lightened things up. But the more we make something wrong, the more we've blocked. If we're feeling, these feelings are ours.
Yeah.
And we're feeling them for a reason. So when we make it wrong, then we're actually blocking our own soul from telling us what it is that we need for our inner peace and happiness.
Yeah.
Wow. Just everybody sit and feel into that for a second, because it's such a big deal. And I'm going to open up Robin from the other side of Victoria. Robin, have I got you?
You have, yes.
Perfect. You sent me a gorgeous email saying that you avoid arseholes. So you're very good at it. You don't have arseholes in your life. But here's the interesting thing. I read your email and I scribbled a little note to talk about it this morning, because my biggest breakthroughs have been from somebody I love very much behaving out of character like an arsehole. And again, I should probably stop using the word, because they're not actually being an arsehole at all. Sometimes it's been someone I was really, really fond of. It's taken somebody like that behaving out of character about something to put it up in my face enough for me to care enough to actually look at it.
Huh. Yep.
So avoiding arseholes can work. You know, it's a good life practice. Yeah. So have you had somebody you love act unexpectedly out of character?
Not that springs to mind, no. No, I think our whole family's pretty good at just avoidance.
It sounds good to me. I'm not sure I'd be thinking of that as a bad thing.
No, it brings to mind a memory of when I was at uni. We went up to our place and my brother and I are sitting there in our little cottage. And I had a friend with me and her partner, who they were breaking up at the time, came up to our place and came in, and they started fighting. And my brother disappeared out the front door and I disappeared out the back door, not to be seen for the rest of the evening.
Sounds perfectly reasonable to me. Okay. What else have I got up on this list?
Excuse me, Jenny. It's Katie.
Yeah. Yes, Katie.
Do you mind if I just? This is really, hitting home for me. This conversation that you're having.
Super.
I was just wondering. I was just wondering if I could go into a little bit of something that came to me. It was a bit like a brick wall feeling, because I was flowing with it and going, yeah, I get that. Yep. And then I just hit this wall and went, wait up. I've just got to check in with Jenny on this one. Maybe someone else might have felt it too. I've got a beautiful empathic Liberian father who was a Vietnam vet, and very fiery, very I was going to say dismantled from the experience emotionally and all sorts of stuff. I didn't understand that, and the way that he dealt with that was to burst out with anger just out of nowhere, and I spent a lot of years thinking there was something wrong with me and trying to avoid him because I couldn't understand why he would criticise me or burst out with stuff without, you know, any warning. And something happened, like you said, where there was a deep... I actually had a period of time where I had to actually totally not talk to him for a few years, and I'm very connected to him, so that really hurt us both on certain levels. But at that time, that's what I had to do. And then I thought, I don't really want this. And I came to a point where I was talking to him one day. I was shaking. I was that emotionally. It was really hard. But I really wanted to understand, even at that stage. It was way before this, what I do with you. And I just really wanted to know on some level so deeply why, for him, this was happening. Because I knew it wasn't. I know there's a whole other beautiful side to him. So this conversation one day, and I was shaking, physically shaking. I was that worked up with it. And I just went, you know, I just almost, it was a total surrender to the whole situation. And something really, it flipped in me, and I suddenly felt, like you said, it was totally not intellectual, which is great for me, and I fell into my heart space, and I went, oh my God, I could feel where he was coming from, and it was absolute, it was fear, protection, the criticizing was all from his way of loving, and if I hadn't had that insight, I would never have been able to have a relationship with him, because all I would have seen is him being nasty and criticising and firing off about nothing and what have you. So that was really beautiful.
Well done, you.
Yeah. I tried to help my sister with that, but she's never quite been able to. She just goes, ah, he's an arsehole, blah, 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 and whatever, and I think my heart kind of aches a little bit, but I had the gift of being able to feel, as you say, from his side, feel the fear behind it, feel. And it wasn't detail, it was just an understanding and a knowing from a whole different level. So when he started criticising, I just went, oh, he's loving me again in his funny little way. So I didn't actually take it personally, and it changed the whole dynamics, because I wasn't reacting. I'd just fire up and go, bugger off, right back, you know. Because we're so like that, I'm not taking your shit. Instead of that, it was like, wow, you know, I can feel the wounding there. If he needs to express it that way, unless it was, you know. But because I wasn't reacting, he did it, and I just went, oh, yeah, okay. No, oh yeah, okay. And you know, and I just started seeing it that way. But when I come to stuff like, it's funny, I could do that, but when I come to stuff like my own, overwhelm or the fatigue or the depression, whatever, I can't seem to as you said, find a place that feels, what's the word? I don't know if accepting is the word, or don't make it wrong. That's what you said. And that's where, for myself, for some reason, I can't seem to duplicate that. I was wondering how you don't make it wrong. You know, how do you not make it that wrong?
For me, it's been layer after layer of noticing whenever I was making something wrong and looking at it and observing that and just observing it. And then it's got less and less and less. I'm also blessed with some gobsmackingly amazing people in my life, like Carolyn and Sandra and Sue and Narelle and my husband as well. He's very often very empathetic. So, you know, I've got people who kind of notice when I'm making myself wrong.
And point it out, like, gently to you, oh, you might be a bit hard now, and you just sit with it.
Nothing
that, but you sit with it without being attached to the judgment of that, of you being that way.
Each act of observation has made it easier to notice and just smile at myself, and it's got less and less gradually.
See, my observation takes me into it more, and I end up more into it. It doesn't actually give me relief when I observe it. I actually want to bounce off. I go, oh, shit, this is really overwhelming.
Ooh,
I can't do this.
Super.
Go over there.
Now, I have a feeling... I want to come at this from a completely different direction. So it's going to be interesting to see if this kind of cuts through. Carolyn had a message for Costanza when she was on the call on Tuesday. And afterwards, Carolyn's made a big deal about making sure that I was aware and the Costanza was aware that her mother, it wasn't personal. You know, her mother's anger wasn't personal. Now, let's come at this differently. This is on the call on Tuesday, so I'm not talking out of school. This is
yep.
You heard Costanza talking about this on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Her mother's anger was at all the men. It was generations of angry women who were ropeable, strong, capable, intelligent women who were subjugated around this male, you know, got to have boys thing, and. All these eldest girls, all these girls who were the firstborn that were treated like shit because they were women. And Carolyn wanted to really sit in the space, wanted us to really sit in the space of her mother's behaviour was not personal. It wasn't actually aimed at her. It was aimed at the firstborn girl. And she just happened to be the firstborn girl.
I think that's how I came to the realisation with my father, actually, was to see it so much more further than just the person as well. What happened, you know?
Because he wasn't, that wasn't aimed at you personally.
Yeah, exactly. It was
that wasn't aimed at the, you know, that wasn't aimed at the beautiful soul that is Katie. It wasn't aimed at the beautiful soul that is Costanza.
But how about Costanza and Katie, their own stuff, and being that's someone else and the interaction dynamics of someone else and coming to that? I seem to find that much easier as an empathic person to forgive and understand someone else's stuff than my own. When it comes to me.
Yeah. See, forgiveness is a really interesting concept. It's fascinating that Costanza's not on the call today, but And it came, because that came up for her really big too. She got the word forgiveness when she went into it. See, the Buddhists actually consider that forgiveness is a sin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're thinking somebody else or something is wrong.
Because,
and then you have
to... because you're actually blaming somebody and thinking that there's something that you, something terrible that they've done that you have to forgive them for. And they and they go looking in behind to the big picture. Now, let's be careful here, because we've got a bunch of women on this call and some of them have suffered some gobsmackingly awful stuff.
But it's a self journey.
Well, let me just drop into this for a second. Okay, I'm going to need to talk about what I believe in, but I'm going to, after that, I'm going to straight away pull people into what, into going looking for the truth for yourself. I believe that there are two threads of things in our lives, of stuff that happens to us. One thread is a destiny one. We come into this earth to experience something, to do something, to be something. And some pretty awful shit can happen under that umbrella. And the other thread is the stuff that we're creating. Now, no kid suffers. I did not create my father's violence. And some of you on the call did not create the things that happened to you. Not even when you were older. I'm not only talking about kid stuff. There's two distinct threads. Okay, so having said that, there's two threads, you know, the destiny stuff and the stuff we're creating. Just everybody take a breath. This is shaky. This is shaky stuff. I can feel it. I can feel the energy and we're holding it for you. Thanks for bringing this up, Katie, or bringing up the... I know it's, you didn't specifically bring this up, but paying gentle attention to your outward breath and get curious. No, it's hard to get curious about really deep shit.
Yes, that's the thing. Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
That hit it right on the head. Because you don't kind of...
Yeah. Okay, let's drop into the paradox of it. A paradox is something that seems like a contradiction and yet it isn't. Mm. So here's the paradox. That such freaking crappy stuff can happen. Such evil, awful, cut their balls off, crappy stuff can happen. And yet there'd be something on the other side of it that is so beautiful for us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the stick point, though, isn't it?
Okay, now feel that rolling energy in your stomach. It's either there's a ball of tension in there in more than one person. Just sit with it. We've got your back. You're in the safest place on the planet right now. I've got this vision of a bunch of women with their hands linked. So is it true that there is relief and peacefulness and even joy on the other side of this gobsmackingly awful stuff? Is it true or not? That's what we're asking ourselves.
And if there is, then it's worth going ahead.
Say that again, Katie.
I was just saying, and if there is, which I do believe there is, it's worth going there. It's worth going into that. It's worth knowing more.
Your timing is gorgeous. Carolyn had just flipped through a message to me saying, "Would you like that to be true? Would you like it to be true that there is something special for you on the other side of all this yuck?"
Definitely. To me, there's a meaning, and the frustration is not understanding it, especially
yeah.
the experience of people. Yeah, definitely. I mean, but knowing there's gold at the other end and actually having the gold in my hand is completely different.
Yeah. That's why these big energies in these amplified fields are so worth their weight in gold.
And understanding how to do that, or allow that, actually might be a better way to put it, understanding how to allow that to be real in my life. Not just as a miracle once every 10 years, but consistently.
Yeah. Katie, I had a thought for you. I woke up with a thought for you this morning. I'm just trying to gather it together in my mind. You know how your mental feel is really strong like mine? Like, you know, it's one of our kindred spirit things. We recognize each other's incredibly strong mental feel. And you've got a habit of it getting in your road. and you're aware of that, aren't you?
Yes, I definitely am.
Yeah. Well, I had an insight that I thought might bring the rightness into that for you, you know, because when we make that wrong,
yeah.
There's a paradox there. There's the recognition that on the one hand it's getting in the road, and yet on the other hand, when we make it wrong,
exactly.
It's like,
that's wrong.
You know, we make it bigger. So I just thought I'd share my experience of my habit of mental feel. My mental feel habit has been turning everything into a teaching experience. and what I do about it is, and I've only just realised this recently, because it's a strength as well.
Yes, exactly.
It's just when there's a fine line between being able to use stuff as a teaching experience and escaping from myself by using it as a teaching experience.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh. Can you feel the energy rippling down my back? And I can feel Sandra smiling from here. And
exactly.
I think Carolyn just blew me a kiss. So what I do, so here's how I cope with that without making myself wrong. I just smile and say, "There I go again."
How simple that is.
It's just that simple.
Yeah. It's a lightness of spirit. Yeah,
there I go again.
Actually, that is really powerful. Funnily enough.
Yeah. It's funny how
the mind can't play with that either. The mind can't take that for a ride.
I like that expression. Mind.
No, I just came to it. It does. It goes, oh, look at that. Here we go. Let's make a big whopping whatever of this deal. It's like, okay, here I go again. It's like, how do I do that? My mind's like, grab it somehow.
So there's your lightness of spirit because I swear from now on when you're observing that, you're actually going to think of taking it for a ride.
Yeah.
You're going to put it on a horse's back. You're going to put it on a horse's back, on a cartoon horse's back. And I can just see the energy kind of, bouncing off into the distance.
So
just pulling everybody's attention to the big deal in this, it's not making it wrong. It's the paradox, the apparent contradiction, but it isn't really a contradiction, of knowing that my mental feel wants me to control and organize everything. And turns every part of my life into a teaching experience.
Oh my God, that's so cool. that is so true.
I know. I've even done it on this clinic. But it's such a fine line because those stories inspire people. And yet there's a fine line that I can step over, which literally takes me out of my own feel. And that's not a good look. So there's the paradox. It's not useful to me on the one hand, but if I make myself wrong, that's not useful either, because that's literally going to stop me from being able to make a change.
Yes. Exactly. That's exactly right. And it's almost like this seesaw balancing effect. You stand on top and put one foot on weight on one side and it just goes a bit too far and trying to push back the other way. And that's what it feels like to me.
I've got goosebumps. Isn't that life?
Yeah, exactly.
Carolyn had an idea for a quiet mind. When we're talking about the really big... the really big stuff that was happening in people, the really big stuff that some people are facing in their lives, that's coming up in this clinic, and would we like it to be true that there's something beautiful on the other side of all this absolute ghastly shit that's happened to so many women? Would we like it to be true that there's a gift of joy on the other side of that violence, that there's a gift of joy on the other side of that coercion? So would we like that to be true? So why don't we drop into a quiet mind? Doesn't have to be a big one. And just have a feel whether we would like it to be true that there's inner peace and joyfulness and a glorious connection with others and all kinds of other yummy things on the other side of the horror. Paying gentle attention to your outward breath. And allowing your attention to expand into the rest of your body in the way that you do that best. You might be paying attention to your energy. You might notice some energy moving. You might notice some emotions moving. You might notice a voice screaming at you in the background. Just paying gentle attention to all of it. Would you like it to be true? That there is inner peace and joyfulness, not just happiness, but bliss. On the other side of the crappy stuff. Would you like that to be true? Doesn't matter whether you think it can be true yet. You'll deal with that part later. Would you like it to be true?
Joni, maybe it's my mental teacher here, but I keep getting this yelling when you say that over and over is, why wouldn't anyone want it to be true? Why wouldn't anyone want there to be a breakthrough, an understanding, an insight, inspiration from something that they felt was so devastating or destroying or contrasting to that? Would somebody actually say no?
Okay, that's a good question, because somebody on the call is saying no. Who is
okay.
it?
Okay.
Press star 7 and come on in. Because we're in the context of, you know, this is the safest place on the planet right now. Like, you're held in loving energy so big that there is no safer place. Okay, could be on the recording. It could be someone who's listening on the recording or will be listening on the recording. So whoever it is, the bottom line is, you're not wrong for thinking like that. Okay, I just dropped into that freaking teacher's voice. Far out. How did that happen? Okay, so whoever it is, we're just dropping in to feel it with you. And everybody drops in and notices what's going on in our own bodies. And brings that awareness, brings that inner awareness to it. Gosh, I can feel this. I've got this vision of this interlinked hands, like a whole group of women, all of us, because we're all women, with our hands crossed, with the strength of our hands crossed You know, when you've got your forearms across each other and your hands are actually crossed, mm-hmm. and so you hold it, so your left hand's holding someone else's right hand. And the strength of that.
Like a chain. Like
standing together, yeah. Yeah, like a really super strong chain of women standing together.
Mm.
Katie, that's a fascinating question. And you know what? I've got this sneaking suspicion that there's a little part of that in all of us.
Mm. I was feeling into it because I just could not understand the not wanting to know about the goal, but then I felt right into it deeply and when we were just doing that before. And it actually isn't the not wanting to know. I'm going to say this personally, not wanting to know. If I didn't want to know, I was feeling into it, if I was that way, why it would be that way. And I felt it wasn't that I didn't want to know. It was the process of what I felt I'd have to go through, i.e. emotional pain, to get to the gold. What I would have to go feeling into that hurt so much, the lesson, the gift. Going through that and into it, that, yeah.
Oh, wow. Thank you for expressing that so well. And for expressing that so well for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So still in the quiet mind, still paying gentle attention to your outward breath. What if we could make it easy? Would we like that to be true?
That's massive, isn't it?
It's huge.
Mm, I feel it, I'm like tumbling block.
Yep. Wow, the energy's roaring.
Mm. Enjoying the journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm, what a beautiful thing to do today.
Mm.
Okay, wow, that was not the quiet mind I expected today, but man, it's a good one.
I don't think you'll have anyone asking for a refund on that one, Jen. That's really good as your goal, right? And then you're getting work.
Hey, I don't give them anymore because I'm not into customer service.
You don't play that game. You're above that stuff.
Not anymore. Not into marketing, not into customer service.
You
don't need to be. If you got energy going like that, it takes care of itself.
Imagine if you could bottle it.
Woo! Oh. Well, really, we are bottling it, aren't we?
Yeah, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Like effervescent.
Mm.
So it's holding
okay,
that.
Okay, everybody.
Feeling.
That quiet that. Mind was huge. Ah, Sandra's sent something for you. I can just picture her sitting in the waiting room at the car repair shop. And this is for you, Katie. You don't have to live it to get past it. You don't have to relive anything to get past it. And I'm quite sure that you actually knew that already, but sometimes it, you know, we need a reminder of it. And is that true? Okay, this is everybody. This is we came out of that quiet mind. The energy started to lift, but drop back in again, paying gentle attention to your outward breath. Just allow your awareness to expand into the rest of your body. Just be aware of what's going on in your body. And is it true or not that you don't have to relive it to get past it? We don't have to relive the pain. We don't have to relive the ghastly experience. We don't have to relive anything to find that joy on the other side of it. Is that true or not? I have a feeling somebody just blasted out into expanded consciousness. I just felt a huge expansion. Carolyn's thing is to be an observer of it instead of reliving it. But I know that you've said, Katie, that you actually experience when you go into observing, it's not useful to you.
I think because my mental feel and my heart, I'd say heart because it's the first place I go to when I meditate, drop right in easily, feel like this might also be for other people, is that the emotional aspect trips me up. Detached sounds a bit negative. The silent observer is a beautiful idea for me, but
doesn't work.
When I drop in, I tend to get tangled with it a little.
This is a fabulous opportunity to talk about celebrating our differences. I've had the privilege of working with a bunch of gobsmacking women: Carolyn, Sandra, Sue, Ida Bowles, Narelle Wilson, Holly Vaness, over the last 10 years. And the thing that comes from working with a bunch of incredibly powerful women is that we've come to not just recognize the uniqueness of us, because I've been aware of the uniqueness of us for a really long time, but literally to celebrate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful.
So, you know, Carolyn's being an observer of it works so beautifully for her. That's not working for Katie.
Yeah, isn't that, that's just gorgeous. I love that she can do that.
I think that's
so what's our way?
So yeah, exactly. We know what's not.
Yeah, and that's why this experiential way of teaching is so valuable to you, because experiencing it is the only way you can get it.
Totally, because
somebody else's way isn't useful.
Exactly.
Julianne, I'm hoping that your sound is good enough for you to join in the conversation. How have you gone in this little series of Quiet Minds and this conversation today? Has that been resonating for you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Tom.
So I also have an angry father. So that definitely resonates. And I also try to hide from anger all the time.
Mm.
But I'm an avoider for sure. But this last thing, I'm struggling with my quiet mind right now.
Ah, super. Wow, excellent. Well, you don't need it. That's
why?
Probably why. A quiet mind is a wonderful tool when we need a bit extra, you know, we, how to explain. If I'm super present, I don't need a quiet mind.
Oh.
So there's a celebrate your differences thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So notice, I can feel you from here. Your skin is alive. Can you feel how your skin's alive? It's sort of super sensitive and prickles on it and all that kind of stuff. You are really present, so you don't need to quieten your mind. It's like, shit, lady, you're already there.
Okay. Because I feel like I'm like it was almost distracting me because I was trying to get quiet. But like for a minute when I wasn't, maybe when I wasn't thinking about it, like I could feel, you know, the energy in my stomach, and but then it went away, and then I was like, oh my gosh, am I it? Like, and then I was like, maybe I'm a fake and I don't even know why I'm here because I can't do this.
And here she is, so present that she doesn't actually need a quiet mind. I'm reaching across the ocean giving you a high five, Jillian.
Thanks.
See, in that space that you're in right now, the awareness is actually flowing. And that's actually what we're looking for. We're looking for it to flow in the moment, just, you know, for the thoughts to pop into our mind and we're paying attention to them and, you know, there's no big deal about it and, you know, we can feel the tension in our body and we're paying attention to it and there's no big deal about it. The answer kind of pops in before we even ask the question.
And I just got really hot, so I had to take off my sweater. And it's freezing in my house.
Ah. Mm. Deb in Kodiak, there's a fair bit of background noise there. Let's see if we can hear you okay or whether how have you been going with this?
I've been doing well with it. I've been enjoying the quiet minds, and I can relate to the asshole thing. I live with one, but
high five.
Yeah.
What are you doing living? Okay. So the process of dealing with that, have you been able to drop into that today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and there is light on the other side. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't stick around for, I mean, it's not anything like it used to be. We went through some really rough times, but there was alcohol and stuff involved in that. And
changes, you know, everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. And now, like, our kids are adults. We have grandkids. We still sometimes he doesn't listen to me, and that's when he seems like he's being an asshole because he has really strong opinions about things. But it's coming from a place of
care. You're lucky you don't live with me. Sorry.
It's okay. But he's also been one of my greatest teachers, and it's always come back to, you know, what can I do to take care of myself better? When I do that, everything mellows out.
Oh, well done you.
You know, and I figured that out over the years on my own, but, you know, it still comes up all the time. And I notice, you know, it does, but it doesn't take as long to get out of it again.
Yeah, here's a thought, Deb. What if you could flow? What if you could flow with the feelings and the answers? What if they could flow really easily in the moment?
That would be lovely.
Okay. How would everybody else like to do that too? So drop into your inner awareness in the way that suits best for you. In fact, we're not even going to drop into our inner awareness. We're already there. We're going to take a leaf out of Gillian's book. And Gillian, is that how you pronounce your name with the E on it, like that, with the emphasis on the Gillian?
It's just Jillian. My mom just put an E on the end for some ridiculous reason.
So
picture
cool.
It without the E.
Cool. It's always nice to pronounce someone's name properly. So in this place of where we're already aware of what's going on in our bodies, is it true or not that we can flow with the feelings and the answers to our feelings and the understandings of them? Is it true that we can flow with that really easily in the moment? And what would that mean to us? I tell you what, you know, for those of you who are horse people, I think everybody on the board is a horse person. Holy shit, you should see what a difference that makes when you're working with a horse. They adore it. It makes it so easy. There's a lovely sense of wonder coming up. Gillian, you're clearly an energy person, the way that your skin's prickling like that. And oops, oh yeah, you're still there. The board shifted. You moved upper. What do you think about the idea that you could just flow with the feeling and the answer coming seamlessly, almost at the same time?
I mean, it would be great if I could not doubt every single thing.
Yeah, doubt's a really interesting thing. It's another thing that we make wrong, that we've got a tendency to make wrong. There's an old Irish blessing that amongst other things says, you know, Lord, give me enough doubt for me not to be arrogant or something.
Yeah.
I haven't quite got it right, but
no, but I get it, because I don't want to be, I don't like arrogant people, so I don't want to always think I'm right.
Yeah,
I apologize all the time for everything.
Okay,
which somebody told me once that it makes it lose its meaning, so
ew. Yeah, so feel into the doubt in the same way that you feel into every other emotion, because sometimes the doubt itself will open up something different for us. And of course, you know, in that awareness of what's going on in the moment, you know, the ability to feel the feelings and flow seamlessly and almost instantly into the answer is the awareness that a lot of the doubt that we experience is not ours. But we don't even have to think of that so much, because the answer flows seamlessly as to whose it is. What a beautiful place to take our clinic, for our clinic to flow into, just before we have a week off for this to process, because this is big stuff. This is big stuff. Easy stuff, but big stuff. Catherine and Mackay, I'm opening you up just to touch base, because we've covered some stuff that I know is really big for you today too. How's it been going up there in Queensland?
Today was huge. That's about all I can say at the moment.
Okay. Don't you dare freaking hang on to it, lady. Don't you dare swallow it back down.
It's still alive. I'm trying to stay in my body. I have a habit of leaving, because I don't like to feel.
Hey, don't you make that wrong either, kiddo. Holy shit, do you realise how clever that is?
It was really handy when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Trouble is, I've got into the habit of it.
Okay.
I avoid a lot.
So, let's change this up a bit. You want to leave your body? You fucking leave your body. Because we've got you. We've got you back, you kiddo. It's the coming back that's the key.
Yep.
Being able to leave and come back. Oh God, I can feel goosebumps everywhere. You're not the only one who's leaves their body. Somebody else on this clinic was talking about it in an email or a message. That's such a smart thing to do. Far out for a kid to get that smart, that clever, that holy shit. What a gift. This is a bit weird, and I'm not saying this to lighten up the moment, but I'm actually high-fiving this little kid and doing a little dance around her. Like, good on you.
Oh, that's my goal, is to find her.
She's there every time you leave your body.
It's kind of like when she's in my body, I can't feel her because it's so much. I think a lot of my left hand, I've lost some of my body parts to it. So, including my gallbladder. So maybe that's what I work on, is getting rid of my anger that's stored up.
Yeah, from a physical point of view, the gallbladder is really interesting because you don't actually need it to still have your meridian and the emotions of it. Horses don't have a gallbladder. They've got this tiny little appendage on the end of the liver that acts as an anchor for the gallbladder meridian, but they don't actually have a gallbladder. And in spiritual terms, gallbladder is where we store resentment. And resentment is literally just shove down anger over and over and over again, shove an anger down.
I remember when I was little, I would watch my father when he would be beating my brother, and I knew I was very like him, and I was an angry kid, I suppose. And I just swore one day when he hurt him so bad that I would never lose my temper again. So I learnt to swallow it. And I've done that so much in my life.
And then it's like Mount Vesuvius ready to come back up again.
Yeah.
Well, that's in terms of celebrating our differences, you've shoved yours down deep into your gallbladder, and I was Mount Vesuvius going off like a rocket. Two different ways of dealing with the same stuff. Similar stuff. My father made the mistake of sending me from a very early age to a local group called Jehishakan Hombu. And by the time I was 14, I was a second Dan brown belt. And when he hit my mum in front of me when I was 14 years old, I knocked him out. Knocked him to the floor and knocked him out. And then I called the police because I was shit scared what he was going to do to me when he woke up.
Power of love.
Yeah, it's funny though because it didn't actually, in hindsight, it sounds powerful. But he just changed the way he tormented. So instead of tormenting physically, he tormented mentally and emotionally. So it didn't really change him. But, you know.
When you were talking with, you know how you said about understanding where it came from, I could feel my father's frustration when he would be doing that and all the, and I mean, I knew the history of the family and everything, but I could feel, I think that's one of my strengths is physical and emotional feel. And I could feel his mind, I could feel these emotions, I could feel everything going in his body when he was doing it, which scared me.
Okay, that would be scary. So what did you get from the little awareness that we just had a minute ago of you don't have to go into it to let it go?
I'm willing for it if I can. I just want to get to the other side of this. It feels like a war, like I don't know something. I can look back on it most of it now, and it does feel like it's stirred. It's going to start letting stuff out. I think I've already some. You know, put a crack in that I'm going to be able to get this story out easily.
Okay, I've got a lot of breaking up happening with you, with either your internet or my microphone. Katie, you're still open. Can you tell me if that breaking up for you or is it my microphone breaking up?
You're actually very clear for me. It's breaking up on the other side for me.
Okay, cool. I don't need to replace my microphone before the next workshop. That's good. Yeah, I could tell what you were saying, Catherine, so, but I had to kind of drop in and feel the missing words. So, knowing the truth or not of being able to deal with big stuff easily is really important to you, Catherine, isn't it?
Yeah. So.
Okay. So when we were talking about it, were you there with us? Did you actually make that decision to understand the truth or not of that?
I was there, but I didn't feel it.
Okay.
I was just too...
Cool. Perfect. Perfect. So you won't be the only one. So let's ask ourselves that question deliberately again. Is it true? And this is a very deliberate asking ourselves this question. is it true or not that we can deal with really big stuff without having to experience the pain of it? Just sliding through to the awareness of it. Is that true or not? Because if it's true, it changes everything. Can you see that if it's true, it has enormous effects on like an automatic willingness to understand something? Doesn't it? Wow, that's shifting some physical stuff for you, Catherine.
Yeah, there's an awful lot going on in my body.
Yeah, I can feel some very physical changes happening. I can feel your spine kind of starting to pop loose and get flexible.
Yay, bring it on.
That'd yeah.
Be good.
Yeah, especially high up, neck to shoulder blades was the place that I was actually feeling just then. Celebrating our differences, that's a nice place to finish up with for the day. Now, before we finish up, and we're about to finish up, I just want to check that everybody is complete. Is there anyone who is not okay right now? Press *7 and come in, or *2 if you just want to get my attention. Now, remembering that it's okay to sit in the background. Feel free to email me. We're going into Easter, and I've got a very big family Easter, so I won't be as good with my emails as I normally am, but I will get to them. Reach out if you have any stuff that you're not dealing with. Because we've done some big work here today. You're going to be doing some processing over this week off. We knew, well, wow, this is incredible. Do you know, Sandra actually said when we set the dates for this, and I said it's Easter's in the middle, we'll have to have a week off in the middle. She said they're going to need it. it's going to be perfect to have a week off in the middle and give everybody time to process before we move on to the next bit. And then we have a call like this where we've dealt with such big stuff and put in motion some really big stuff. Make sure you drink shitloads of water. Attend to the physicality of your bodies over the next week, because the truths and the knowings are going to come flowing in. We've set that up so it comes flowing in nice and easy for you. But pay attention. As we process emotional stuff, our bodies actually need to flush the toxins out. So make sure you drink plenty of water, pay attention, rest when you need to, get to bed early, sleep a lot,
Really look after yourselves while your bodies actually start catching up with the physical changes that are going to be happening from all this mental and emotional stuff. Gillian, I've opened you up, sunshine.
Okay. I just have a quick, question.
Sure.
Is it possible that we are getting better from this without our awareness?
Of course.
Okay.
One of the things that's happened, one of the things that happens a lot is I see people make changes so profoundly that they don't even remember they had a trauma. It can be that easy. There are some people who find wisdom in their trauma, and as they flow through to the peace, inner peace and the joyfulness, you know, the other side of the trauma, they find their inner peace and joyfulness, and they use that as passion as they move through their lives and do stuff in the world with it, literally use it to do stuff in the world. And others drop it so profoundly they don't even remember they had a trauma. And I find it hilarious to deal with those people because I actually had, and she's on the call today, worked with someone for about a month, it might have been a month or 6 weeks or something, and the change in her was so profound that even her voice changed. And she wrote to me afterwards and said, didn't get much out of this clinic, Jen. Not as much as usual. Didn't get as much as usual out of this one. And it was like, and I think I wrote back and said, go ask your friends whether anything's changed. Because it was so profound. She didn't even realise how much she changed. So the answer to your question is yes. Mm.
Yeah, because yesterday I had this, like, I had this drama thing going on and I was dealing with it, whatever. And then yesterday somebody tried to pull me back in it and I felt bad for, like, 2 hours. I felt terrible. And then I was fine. And where before it would have been days. And then today I woke up and I completely avoided it at work. Like, I just did my thing. And, like, I mean, before this clinic, why I signed up, that I was spending basically every Sunday in bed, like wasting every Sunday. And so it was like 2 hours of feeling terrible. And then I kind of forgot about it. And then I went to work and I was like, just stayed away from it.
Yeah. Every layer of crack we drop off is makes it easier and easier and easier. And it doesn't even have to be. We're all different. Our life journeys are all different. Some people do it in layers. Some people do it in a big blast all at once. Some people do it with big stuff. Some people do it with small stuff. And lots of small stuff. We're all different, but. Yep, that's just perfect. So even just sitting in that for a moment as we finish up for the day, just having appreciation for how much change we've been making. And really, Gillian, how easy it's been for you. Who would have thought it would be that easy?
Not me. It was easy. Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie. Adrian, before we finish up, I just want to check in with how you are verbally.
Oh.
I know I've checked in with you by email, but I just wanted to check in.
Oh, I'm doing fine. I have to say, thank God I stayed up for that Tuesday one last week. Well,
yeah,
because that really made all the difference for me. Because, yeah. I mean, it's like losing two in a week is a bit much.
Yeah, Adrian lost her second dog yesterday, day before. The one that she was expecting to lose, the one who'd been really sick.
Yeah, well, she was 18 years old, so, you know, I mean, I'm not saying it's no big deal, but it's like she had a good life and it was her time and it's okay, but,
yeah,
you know, losing two in a week, it's like I went from three dogs to one. It's like,
my German Shepherd's loving it. I'm glad you still got one dog, because I'd been thinking that you'd lost all your dogs in 1 week.
No, but it's, I will say the, how can I say, the gold on the other side, because I certainly don't look at it as the upside, is the new mare that I got is, it really needs a lot of help. And I'm really spending a lot of time focusing on her and the other mare. And it's opened up time for me, which I'm grateful for.
Isn't that interesting, the way the universe kind of flows, even with shitty stuff?
Yeah, that's, I didn't want to say, like, you know, I'm not going with the cloud and the silver lining stuff, but it's like... I'm not going there, but it's, I'm grateful because this little mare really needs a lot of help.
Yeah.
You know, she's not so little. But all 17 hands of her and she's small.
Wow.
Well, she, I mean, inside.
You're tall. When we saw that photo, I put that photo of you and Annie up on the,
Annie was 17.3.
Okay, because I thought you were a tall woman, and that horse makes you look like a midget.
Well, she's a big. Well, she was a big girl. I have to say, I would appreciate thoughts for this poor little mare, because it's like I saw her do something that I've never really seen an adult horse do to another one. Was she was doing the baby mouth thing to my gelding this morning.
Ah, okay.
And you know, tiny's fairly scary, but it's like that's not something I've seen an adult horse do.
I've seen lots of adult horses do that.
Okay.
And the context for that has been when. And this is interesting for because, you know, Gillian's question right before I opened you up, it's been when a horse has released the stress of learning so profoundly that they've gone back to being a baby horse.
Oh, that is awesome, then.
I don't know how to interpret it.
It's just I've noticed that Tiny isn't pinning his ears at her anymore. So it's like, okay, get a thumbs up on that.
Yeah,
but,
I remember Pat Corelli saying years and years and years ago that you couldn't bake a cake twice. That the horses we were working for level three on were stuffed. We were stuffing them up. And it was okay. We just had to be satisfied with the fact that we were stuffing our horses up. But we'd learn from it, and the one after that would be better off for it.
I've spent my time with Pat Pirelli too, so it's like. Yeah.
And God bless him. I am so pleased that he is completely wrong, because when we do that release. Relearn and reprogram stuff, which
You can't imagine how good I feel right now, because it was like I was just really concerned that it was like, you know, the baby horse in the herd that's been disciplined, where it's like, you know, please don't hurt me, please don't hurt me.
It worked. He backed off.
Well, no, I mean, it was like his ears were forward when she was doing that. I mean, he wasn't he hadn't done anything.
Yeah.
So
I remember when I was working with Matt, we were doing saddling, I think.
Yeah.
It might have been Celtic piece. I can't remember now. I think it was Matt. And we'd done all this profound releasing over the original saddling trauma for this horse.
Right. Yeah.
And he started mouthing.
Wow. Because the other part of it that really blew me away is I have to feed her separately because she's getting ulcer meds and I don't want anybody else eating her food. So she was in a halter when she was doing this. I was getting ready to lead her out.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful.
I'm just completing the context for, you know, when you're working with a horse and it does that. It's like some horses have, their learning has been so traumatic that when we make that breakthrough and they drop back to being a baby horse, we literally have to layer in everything again.
Yeah.
So it's like everything they learned was so traumatic, they've dropped it, and they're now this clean slate that you've got to start again with and teach how to get a halter on, how to lead, how to have a saddle, because they've just dropped all that trauma and shit.
Well, she still leads anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
The context for her is going to be a bit different because that was within a herd situation. So, you know, but yeah, when we do that with a horse, we had one little Arab come in. I won't make this too big a story because we're right at the end. We had it come into a clinic and one of my horses helped it by doing some saddling work. And when it let go, its saddling trauma, it let go all the trauma of its start, breaking in, which was so traumatic.
Well,
and
yeah.
The lady had to actually teach it to get a halter on, teach it to lead, teach it to float load to take it home. She restarted the horse at home.
So it had been completely traumatic from the very beginning.
Every bit of its learning had been traumatic. And she, bless her cotton socks, she had the patience and the skill with what she'd learned in the clinic to actually lay those steps back in.
Yeah,
nice,
better.
with a relationship with each other.
Yeah, because
it took about eight months to restart the horse.
I kind of hope, excuse me, wait a minute. I hope I covered up my mic on that one. It's really strange because these two mares have just completely bonded. They look exactly alike, basically. And one of them is her, and the other one is, I'd say she was about two steps from being completely shut down. I just have finally gotten to the point where I can walk up to her. And I mean, I'm not like walking right at her, but I can walk up to her.
Oh my God.
And
do you realize what we've just done? Sorry, doll. The reason
I'm kind
of coming over the top of you is that the dogs are barking and this could be the electrician arriving. But I just want to go, holy shit, do you realize the full circle we've just come? We've been talking about the ease of letting go big trauma. And here we are talking about the ease of a horse letting go big trauma and the thoroughness of it so big that they're like a blank slate. Far out. I've got goosebumps.
So glad.
Yeah. So, did you just notice that the possibilities with the super shutdown mayor have just opened up in your mind?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's been really slow, and I have never seen a horse lick and chew that much. I mean, every time I get into a little too close for her comfort zone, I step back and she'll stare at me and lick and chew and just stare at me like, what on earth is going on?
Bless her cotton socks.
Yeah, she's such a good girl. And it's like, I suspect because I'm basically going to restart her. I was planning on it anyway. And it's like, it'll be interesting to see if I don't have the same kind of reaction that gal in your clinic had, where it's like, I'm going to have to restart her all over again.
Lots of them don't need restarting. You know, they're just changing one part. But every now and again, you come across a horse whose learning has been so traumatic from one end of it to the other. Carolyn just pointed out, because Carolyn's a trained equine behaviourist, and she's just pointed out that lots of adult horses can do it. It's context specific.
Good. Yeah, I was hoping to ride this summer. So.
Okay, and I'm just going to pause for a second because Sandra's writing something. Wow, I've got goosebumps thinking about how Sandra can feel the ulcers disappearing.
I hope so. That poor little girl, I touched her points for the ulcers. And, I mean, I'd been everywhere else, and she was just a doll. She's real friendly, and I touched those points, and she cow-kicked, and she tried to bite me. And it's like, because they were so painful.
Pause for a second, because I can feel you've shifted out of being present and went into the past. That's a bit weird. You were in this beautiful place of possibility.
Okay.
Yeah. Gosh, that's opening up a whole new can of worms. I don't want to open up a whole new can of worms.
The electrician is there.
Here's just something to kind of throw at you. When you think about her ulcers, feel into the possibility before you go fixing anything. Did that make sense?
No, a possibility of what?
You were in a moment of possible. Oh, wow, this is really fascinating.
I'm all in my moment head right now. I mean, yeah, it's like I'm completely in my brain.
Yep, you were feeling the possibility of her ulcers just disappearing as you do the trauma release, because, you know, there's stress underneath ulcers. It's not the only reason they have ulcers, but stress definitely underpins it. So you were in the possibility of the trauma release actually getting the ulcers to disappear. And then for some reason you came out of that possibility. So the same ease that we're talking about, here we are, here's the bit that we needed, here's the piece that we needed, piece of the jigsaw that we needed for that fits in with today's session. The ease that we're talking about for us is the same ease that the horse can have, is the same ease that Matt got when he let go all his saddle trauma and went back to being a baby horse that needed to be retrained for everything. I'm not sure I kind of expressed that as well as I could, but there's a connection between all the ease is the connection between all those things, the ease that is possible. Now that's a good place to finish.
Indeed. No, I think what happened was I became not present. I mean, I just went into my head.
Yeah. So we just, you know, we talked about that earlier. So we just notice and smile, and it's our strengths. For God's sake, it's our strengths. We don't want to be making it wrong.
No, but it's, how can I say? I've done, this is the first time I've like noticed it and like noticed it. Oh, but I know I've done it in the past where it's like, I'll just stop and like ground myself. And then I'm more here.
Yep. We're a bunch of freaking rock stars. That's what we are.
Indeed. Have a wonderful, brilliant.
Yep, we're all brilliant. Have a wonderful Easter, everybody. I hope you get lots of relaxation and ease and all kinds of yummy stuff. And we'll see you in a week's time. So it's Tuesday week. We'll be getting together. Love you all. No wonder I was excited coming into today. This has been absolutely gorgeous. Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Happy Christmas. Happy Easter.
Merry Easter to you, too.
Bye.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the